Hi, everybody. This is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your Cheap Date Show for September 29th, 2007. On this week's episode...
Meet Me in the Barn. How's that for an intriguing title?
I'm scared. That's how horror movies start.
In the barn, in a world.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Behind the Woodshed.
That's something else. See. How are you, honey?
Fantastic. How are you?
Lisa's had a very long day. The life of a full-time student is not... I should say it's an exhausting one, is it not?
What do you have in your hand there?
I have in my hand... You have a taste of this, and you tell me what you think of that.
Mm-hmm. It's good. What is there Kahlua in it or something?
There is. Lisa is enjoying... She's enjoying a more upscale version of a drink that I invented when I was a younger man, a drink called a Highway McFifty.
Oh. This is one of the great things about being a college student.
A Highway McFifty, and I'm going to put my stake in the ground here on the Cheap Date Show. You heard it here first, folks, nowhere else. It's simple and elegant.
Okay.
Now I'm building it up too much. A Highway McFifty is a small McDonald's vanilla shake with a shot of Kahlua in it. Now, some of you are going, ugh, and others are going, hmm. Which camp were you in when we made this the other night?
First of all, mine was made with a chocolate shake.
Yes. The classic is made with vanilla, but you can make one with chocolate as well.
When you mentioned it to me, I thought it sounded great, except for the small fact that I haven't had a McDonald's shake in years. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what a McDonald's shake would taste like. I mean, well, I had an idea what it would taste like, but I didn't know if I thought that would think the chocolate tasted fakey or the dairy tasted fakey or what. But actually, it's not a bad shake.
The whole thing works very well together.
It's not overly sweet. I mean, I know a bad shake when I have one, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was okay. So tonight I stopped at Oberweis. You've heard us mention them before.
Now that's a shake.
This is actually a chocolate malt I had it made with.
See, I think that's almost too sweet.
It is, because the chocolate malt not only has really, really good chocolate ice cream and really, really good chocolate syrup, but it also has real whipped cream on top of it and a pirouette cookie stuck in it. Mm-hmm. To which I added a shot of Kahlua. And this is really nice, but dude, I'm gonna be sweating. My body is gonna go into...
You have to remember, Kahlua is sweet enough to drink plain.
True.
Or to sweeten milk.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with something already that sweet.
I'm gonna be in insulin shock by the time I'm done here.
Mm-hmm.
I figured I'd just bring that for you. I'm gonna be bouncing off the wall.
It is lovely. But I think it works really well with the McDonald's version. The Kahlua adds just a little bit. The thing is, the Oberweis shake is a complex beast to begin with.
Tis.
And the McDonald's shake, well, isn't.
It's simple, it's pedestrian, it's...
I think it's interesting that you like it with vanilla. I thought with vanilla it tasted basically like Kahlua and milk.
Well, that's kind of the point.
And I felt like the chocolate really...
wrapped around the coffee flavor of the Kahlua.
Mm-hmm.
The story. I'll give you the brief version of the story. Anyone who lives in the Chicago area who has ever driven north on I-94 knows that when you get to Kenosha, one of the main exits for Kenosha is Highway 50. And there's a McDonald's just to the west of 94.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see it. So the idea was, is that, and there was Wisconsin, tons of liquor stores everywhere. So the idea is...
Couldn't you buy Kahlua at the McDonald's?
Almost.
At the drive-thru?
Pretty much. So the idea was you get the Kahlua, you go to the McDonald's drive-thru, you go to someplace safe where you don't have to drive, because we don't advocate drinking and driving on the Cheap Date Show. You sit down, you watch
your
favorite...
highway-themed drink.
Well, because it's off the highway.
I know. Hear that? Off the highway, kids.
Off the highway, kids. And you mix it up, and it's... Hours of fun. Okay, minutes of fun. It's a fun little thing, something I did years and years and years ago, and I thought, hey, you know what? We ought to try that sometime. Lisa's in college. Maybe she should try this. This is suitable for her.
It is very college appropriate.
And Highway 50, also the home of the Brat Stop, for those of you who grew up in this area as well. Anyone, it's, we're not going to do a review of the Bratstop, but it's it was kind of dumpy then. From what I understand, things haven't changed much. It burned down at one point, and they rebuilt it. Now, from what I understand, it's still pretty much the same. But and I know a couple of our listeners have gone there recently. Just thought we'd share that with you. So if we're either passed out by the end of this show or completely wired and bouncing off the walls, you'll know why. Right?
Right.
Right. Now, to add to your sugar buzz, I have something for you in my pocket. Oop.
You hear the pocket rustling around.
It is.
Thanks to listener Jeff. Hi, listener Jeff. He'd asked me if you had seen one of these before.
Oh, and I have not.
Tell the folks what you got there in that wrapper.
I hold in my hand a Snickers Dark.
Ooh.
Dark chocolate, peanuts, caramel or caramel, and the legendary nougat.
Mm-hmm.
So are we going to do a little taste test right here on the
show? Well, I don't know. You think we should do it with a combination of the shake? Is our sugar receptors going to be overloaded?
I'm not
going to
have any more of the shake. And I'm just going to have one bite of this,
actually. Tell us what you think of that.
There's no way I can eat this whole thing.
I also have a bottle of water here so we can cleanse your palate.
Ooh, okay. And it's all soft from being in your pocket.
I'm surprised it took them this long to make this because I'm a big fan of the Milky Way Dark myself.
Yes, I am too.
Or the Milky Way Midnight or the Forever Yours, as it was called years ago.
The thing about the Milky Way Dark is... I'm not so sure about peanuts and dark chocolate and caramel. Caramel and dark chocolate. I think nougat and dark chocolate is brilliant. Okay, so I'm looking at this. It looks like a standard Snickers bar. Although, as with the Milky Way Dark, the nougat looks paler than.
Maybe they use vanilla nougat for this.
But am I wrong about that? We would have to compare a milk chocolate.
It does look
Snickers
lighter.
Snickers side by side.
Yeah.
So you entertain the people while I. Enjoy this.
The Snickers bar is a product of the M&M Mars Corporation, Master Foods USA.
Entertain them. Don't put them to sleep.
Did you know that there's a Mars factory right off of the Milwaukee Road West Line train? Train goes right by it every day. For those of you who take the West Line and into the city from in the Chicago suburbs. The UPC code on this is 049-7307. She's looking and she's chewing this very thoughtfully. She takes her finger and puts it up to her lips. Now she's scratching her ear. Now she's looking at me like she's going to kill me.
Okay.
So the verdict.
Very, very rich. More rich than the Snickers usually is. I think the nougat, maybe this is because it was in your pocket. It's softer than the Snickers usually is. I think the caramel's softer, and the nougat seems softer.
Could be because it was in my pocket for a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe
because I
know
when I go golfing, if I take a Snickers with me, that thing's pretty... After a few holes on the course.
Yeah, well, the chocolate itself is pretty creamy, which leads me to think that it's been warmed by
heat. Then when we're done here, we should put it in the fridge and then let it cool
in there.
A little bit more.
Very good. Very rich.
Yeah.
I mean, caramel and peanuts and dark chocolate.
Who'da thunk?
That's powerful.
So thank you, listener Jeff, for...
Jeff. How do I love thee?
Snickers. That's how.
We're like chocolate pen pals.
We gave him a...
You're a chocolate messenger.
I'm your mule. Your chocolate mule. Here.
That's right. You had a delivery for Jeff, didn't you?
I had one of those Vosges Red Fire bars. It was a chocolate bar with cayenne pepper in it. Very good. Which I see are now being sold at many Cost Plus World Market shops. Look in your area for those.
Yeah, that's something to try.
That is something to look for. Anyway, enough of this sweetness. Let's start talking. Aw, sweetness. Let's start talking about what we're doing behind the barn. And it's not sitting back there with cigarettes.
It's not really that kind of show, Joe.
Oh, that's right. We want to keep the clean tag on this one, don't we?
No. There's this restaurant that looks like a barn. It's called Bogey's Ale House, and it's in Mount Prospect.
It's right across the street from the Home Depot.
And the movie theater.
The movie theater's on the other side of the mall, but it's
well,
all in the same vicinity.
Close.
Yeah.
So it's convenient for your movie and Home Depot date.
So we decided last Friday night that we wanted to try a place that's a little bit different.
Yeah, well, it's not super different. It's different in that we haven't been there before. Or I haven't been there before, and you haven't been there in years. Apparently it's been remodeled, retooled.
Several times. It's gone through many different things. In the very beginning, when I was a kid, it was a fried chicken restaurant called Farmer Cooper's.
Oh. Aw, that's cute.
Well, but over the years, it's been everything from a bar to a pub to an ale house.
Yes, now it's an ale house. And a quick rundown of their menu. Appetizers, salad, burgers, chicken, sandwiches, steaks and chops, house favorites, seafood, Mexican. I didn't even see a lot of
this
stuff.
Some of them house favorites.
And a couple pastas. But we went for the pizza.
Yes.
But before we talk about the pizza, I say we do this chronologically. We go into Bogey's. We're frickin' starved. First things first, beer.
Well, we should describe what the place looks like inside.
Oh, okay, fine.
I'm just saying, for the folks, so you can visualize along with us.
I'm hungry. I want to talk about
food. Close your eyes for a moment and envision, if you will. Mm-hmm. While I was talking to the folks listening on their iPods and computers. I'll just turn your mic down while I'm giving this a listen.
Fascinating.
Man. I think maybe I'll just sit back and go back to being the sidekick again. No. The building is shaped like a huge barn. You walk in. First we walk up and First we walk in, there's a side entrance. And the sign says funeral reception, enter here.
Well,
what's that all about? Anyway, you walk in the place. It's on two levels. You're on the lower level, and it just looks like you're in a restaurant with a regular ceiling and whatnot. The hostesses sit you and whatnot. But there are stairs leading upstairs to a huge, wide-open area.
A loft, if you will.
With like a, seriously, it's a huge TV screen.
Like 80 feet across.
Like an 80-foot projection screen TV. And a really nice, very long bar. Now, there was no one up there when we went. It was about 6 or 6:30 on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the bar crowd was coming in later, or certainly for like Bears games on Sundays.
Right.
So, but the bar is, and it's all wood and polished wood and everything like that. It's really, it's cool.
It's gorgeous. Really, all the decor is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's like bar decor, but it's nice. It's not trashy. So we go back downstairs. So we sit down at the table, and then... Now you can pick up with where you're at. You're thirsty. You're hungry. Tell us what you got.
First, we get a list of beer specials. It's Friday night. It's 6 o'clock. Surely you're going to pay $7 for a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but not at Bogey's.
What?
$2 drafts. And not Bud or Bud Light. But
Miller Light?
And
Old Style? Carling's Black Label?
We have both kinds of beer, Bud and Miller.
Busch?
No.
Old Milwaukee?
Lion and Kugel's Oktoberfest.
Wow.
$2. What a deal. So, ordered up two of those, and we were starving, so we ordered some quesadillas. Our waitress...
Wait, before we go any further, before we leave the beer, they have a pretty... Well, it's called Bogey's Ale House, so they do have a pretty expansive beer menu, would you say? I mean, it's respectable.
Yes, it is. I didn't really get into the beer menu because I was just so excited about $2. Like, something decent for $2.
$2 lineys? I'm in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, they have a very respectable sized beer menu.
Yes.
Okay.
And good prices. So, we wanted an appetizer, so we asked our waitress's advice. Actually, we were thinking about quesadillas, and she offered us the advice that the grilled chicken quesadillas are really good.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with that. We ordered the grilled chicken quesadillas. Normally, we wouldn't order quesadillas before pizza. That's
right.
Like a little bit weird, but we just really needed something.
A little
something.
Redundant.
These were the best quesadillas ever. That sounds like a silly thing to say, like, oh, that was the best public restroom ever. Like, quesadillas... Like, quesadillas, who even cares? Even the best ones
Sorry,
ever.
Senator Craig, I don't know what you're speaking of.
Joseph.
I know, we don't get political on this show.
Like, I mean, how good can restaurant quesadillas really be at a pizza place?
These
were amazing.
They were really good. There was something about the way the grilled chicken was grilled.
Yeah, the grilled chicken was marinated in lots of smoky flavors.
Yes.
And grill flavors.
And in classic bar fashion, so that you didn't forget that you were in a bar, they were served
on a pile of fries. Quesadillas on a pile of fries. Oh, just...
There's one either, more notch on your belt you got to loosen.
You're either delighted or you're sickened.
Repulsed.
Yes, repulsed by the American-ness of that, both nutritionally and culturally. So we enjoyed our quesadillas thoroughly.
You know what that made me miss, though, when I had those?
What?
It made me want to go back to La Granja to get the chicken, because they serve that with the gravy on a bed of fries.
Yeah.
Oh, mouth is watering over that.
That is really good.
Maybe what we'll have to do is like a Cheap Date's Greatest Hits and go back to some of our favorite places and then talk about them
Should we pull together one big super meal?
There you go.
With all the elements.
Start off with a breakfast.
Oh, no, you mean just like revisiting some of our favorite places. I gotcha. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail you, but we finished the quesadillas.
And over the quesadillas, we argued for like 20 minutes about what kind of pizza to get.
We didn't argue. You and I never argue. We're still newlyweds.
We argue.
We were celebrating our 6-month wedding anniversary, though.
That's right. At a pizza place. No, our anniversary was on a Monday. What were we supposed to do? So, what did we get? Oh, we got the veggie pizza. We got sausage and veggie minus mushrooms, right?
Right.
Cheese, sausage, green pepper, onions, and sliced tomatoes. What did you think of the pizza?
I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was delicious.
Have you ever met a pizza you didn't like?
I have, actually. As a matter of fact.
Domino's.
But I won't.
The Oreo pizza.
You know what? Don't even start. We don't even have enough time to talk about the Oreo pizza. We're saving that for the next show.
Okay, okay.
As far as I'm concerned with pizza, I'm very egalitarian. Every pizza has its place. We were out in Seattle. We ordered Papa John's because that was your favorite. I can see why you like Papa John's. You used to work at Little Caesars when you were a kid, when you were a young lady. So we ordered Little Caesars one night. Mm-hmm. And it like brought back memories to you, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So every place has its place. Pizza has its place. The pizza front that we had that night, I really enjoyed it. And I'm not one who usually likes a lot. I'm generally very simple taste. I have very simple taste when it comes to pizzas. But this was really good.
As in cheese and pepperoni.
Right. And we just scarfed it down and it was good. And we even took, you know, we only ate after the quesadilla episode.
Yeah.
we took half the pizza home and we ate it for dinner or for lunch the next day on Saturday. And it was delicious. It traveled well, but it was good. And normally I wouldn't think of, you know, like sliced tomatoes on there, but it was beautiful. It was sort of like a combination of, it was almost like a bruschetta with something else on it.
I think sliced tomatoes on pizza are brilliant because roasting or baking really brings out all the flavor in sliced tomatoes.
That is true.
And takes that kind of rawness away. And you're not a big fan of raw tomatoes.
Oh, but I have something to tell you about that too, but continue. You're right.
But roasting can make them kind of soppy and can make your pizza damp if you're not careful, but really brings that flavor out. The sauce was good. The cheese was good. The toppings were good. The sausage was good. I thought the crust was exceptionally good. I thought the crust was unusually flavorful.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, oh, did you ever have that Pizza Hut Sicilian pizza?
No.
Well, don't. It's like, it's like the pizza.
They'll never be a sponsor of this show.
The pizza is all like loaded up with garlic and oregano and olive oil and all kinds of junk in with the crust.
So it becomes overbearingly sort of fakey, garlicky, bready kind of.
Yeah. And it just so happens that I like got sick, like kind of right around eating some of that. And so now, I can't even think about it. But it's way over herbed to make the crust have a distinctive flavor. And generally, I think crust should be... It's the crust. It should be a palette, a canvas. But it does need to be a good quality palette or canvas.
I mean,
texturally, but also it should have a nice neutral kind of salty flavor, but without a whole lot going on. And this was just really well done. It was crisp on the bottom, meaning not floppy.
Right.
But it was not crackery. I don't really like crackery pizza.
And like CPK type of stuff.
Right.
Because they get a little crackery sometimes.
Yeah. Or like the Crispani at Panera.
Oh, yeah.
Not that that's, I mean, that's like a whole different thing, but that's too crackery. Anyway, it was thin and crisp and soft and chewy and tasty, but not overpowering.
Perfecto.
Perfecto.
What was the one thing, too, that you noticed about the pizza as well?
The one thing?
There was one thing you noticed about under the crust.
Cornmeal.
Right.
I think the best pizzas are made with cornmeal.
We're going to have to try that.
Underneath.
Now, we have some pizza dough recipes that we can run through with the blender or the bread maker, which we don't have a bread maker, but we can still run it through the blender. But also, we tried the Trader Joe's ready-made pizza crust, which I have purchased in the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking maybe next time we do it, we should try it with the cornmeal underneath.
Yeah, and I think we need to let it sit at room temperature for a long time to get soft.
But that was good. So, would you go back to Bogey's?
Absolutely.
And
it was really good.
And it is good. They have different drink specials every night of the week, and the food there is very good. Oh, and getting back real quickly to the thing, we were talking to our server about what the sign on the side about the funerals meant, because she said there are party rooms in the back. There's like a whole other section in the back for private parties and whatnot. And on the upstairs with the bar, there's also a patio you can sit outside on. And downstairs, there's a patio, and they have a beanbag thing set up. She said, for some reason, this place is very popular for family gatherings after funerals. So, I've known restaurants that were like that.
Drown your sorrows in pizza.
Well, yeah. That's where I'd go. I mean, I'd go someplace that would be fun and whatever, and especially with $2 beers. Count me in.
Grandma would have wanted it that way.
Exactly. Grandma was the...
Actually,
she loved the Liney's Oktoberfest.
Anyhow.
Lisa's holding her tongue now. So that's Bogey's Ale House. You can find them at 303 East Kensington in Mount Prospect. She's going to have another sample of the Snickers.
You entertain the listeners.
Okay. Just a couple of real quick things, and then we're going to wrap it up. Within the next couple of weeks, we are going to... Actually, on our next show, we're going to talk about apples, because we have the world-famous annual Apple Butter Festival coming up in Lisa's hometown. Essentially what it is, it's Lisa's parents set something up in their backyard, and everyone collects there.
Everyone, meaning like 8 people.
Exactly. But it's a good
not
time.
Like it's a whole town.
You know what? We could turn it into that. I'm sure with the right amount of marketing and the right way of putting it together, we could have everybody in your parents' backyard.
I don't think it would take much marketing at all.
You'd have to be like, yeah, you know, this copper pot.
I think you could order a keg and that would do it.
So next time we're going to be talking apples. You're going to need to talk apple cobbler next time.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa already made the first apple cobbler of the year. It turned out absolutely tremendous.
Tremendous.
So thank you for that.
We're going to turn out tremendous.
A couple of quick things. As I referred to previously, the unfortunately named Beaner's Coffee has changed its name to Big B's Coffee.
Oh, that's much classier.
Big B, because the logo is a big B.
At least it avoids the racial slur.
Like they finally... like realize that maybe some people would be offended by the name, but the name change has already started happening. So if you have one of these shops near you, and like I said, I really like their coffee a lot. They're cheaper than Starbucks. They're friendlier than many of the Starbucks I've been to. I'm not dissing Starbucks as a whole, but I've had some pretty surly baristas.
That's true. I've had some really nice ones, though, too. I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. I would be surly if I worked at Woodfield, so. Who am I to judge?
We also got from listener CB, he had stayed, he and his wife stayed downtown at the Palmer House in Chicago, and they wound up for breakfast at the Atwood Cafe, which is in the Burnham Hotel, 1 West Washington Street. He said they really, really enjoyed it. They had a lovely view, and it was great for a romantic breakfast stay. He had the 3-cheese omelet with cheddar, Swiss, and cream cheese served with home fries.
Cream cheese?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's the Paula Deen omelet. Then what you do is you just add a jar and a half of mayonnaise.
It's butter.
Butter.
In an omelet, not mayonnaise.
he had a side of sausage, which he said was cooked to perfection. His wife had the banana pecan waffle with maple syrup and brown sugar butter. And he said
Brown sugar butter?
Brown sugar butter.
Oh,
there's an experiment.
I need some of that.
The waffle was extremely tasty and cooked to perfection. So they really enjoyed that. So the Atwood Cafe gets the thumbs up from listener CB and his wife. So thank
you
for that.
Thank you for sharing.
And there was one other thing.
Check that out.
One other thing I want to mention. Oh, the pancake recipe. Now, some of our podcaster friends pointed out to us, Tim and Nanette from the For Whatever Reason podcast pointed out that I read off the recipe a little bit too fast in the last episode. So if you go to our website and you look at the episode notes, the show notes, there is now, the show notes have been updated. So there's a link to, first of all, the recipe is written there, and there's a link to the original article by Ryan D'Agostino in last month's Esquire magazine, where he gives the whole story about how the whole thing is and how he carries
this
around.
It's a cute story.
It's a great story. So check it out. I did a little bit of tweaking with it. I tried adding a couple tablespoons of vanilla extract to the recipe.
And?
There was a slight difference, a little bit mellower taste to them, I think.
May I opine?
You may opine. Just don't drop any needles on the floor. You know, when you have an IQ of over 800, you have your own party sometimes. You don't even need other people around.
Over 800? How many of you are there? Maybe that's why it's a party. Is that all your voices combined?
As Ian Hunter once said, you're never alone with the schizophrenic. Go ahead. Opine.
You added vanilla. Who was it who suggested vanilla or said they were going to try vanilla anyway? Was it
Tim and Nanette were going to try it.
Okay. That's fine. We respect that. I respect that. Joe added vanilla. It tasted vanilla-y. Mm-hmm. I don't think the vanilla is necessary. And I think this is a recipe that you could add a lot of things to. It brings me back. Do I have a few minutes?
You have about 30 seconds.
It brings me back to this Amish friendship bread that was going around about a year ago. It's basically like banana bread or a quick bread. And my friend had a roommate who got really into adding stuff to it. Chocolate chips, dried cranberries, walnuts, cinnamon, cloves, ginger, spices, chocolate pudding, vanilla pudding, all different butterscotch pudding, pistachio pudding, all different kinds of stuff to it. And she was like, you know, I just liked it when it was just banana.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about these pancakes. You could add, now blueberries and other mix-ins are a different thing, but you could add more sugar, vanilla sugar.
Scrape some nutmeg in there.
Yeah,
cinnamon.
You could go spicy. You could add. So I guess if you wanted to try like banana pancakes or some other fruit pancakes, this would be a really good format for it. I think though that my preference is to leave the vanilla out. Because the whole point is you don't have to put vanilla in. And so
it's simple.
Why
it's
hunt
basic.
Around for vanilla?
Right. You're right. So this weekend I decided I'm going to try it with whole wheat flour.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, because I have a banana bread recipe that I use now that I'm tempted to get crazy with, and I have to really restrain myself to just add bananas and leave it alone.
Just leave it alone, will you?
That said, if you like the vanilla flavor better, fine, but I think it's one of my favorite things about it is that you don't have to add vanilla.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessary. It didn't really add, I don't think that it really, you don't really need to punch that up or add any other dimensions to it. I think you can use it as a good base. You can throw stuff in there if you want.
Personally, I like the slightly less sweet, slightly saltier pancake because it goes better with syrup.
Right, we've mentioned that. So
yeah, well, just wanted to mention it again.
I appreciate the fact that you mentioned it again. And with that,
but
ladies and gentlemen.
But that's so cool that people go out and try our, well, they're not really our recipes, but whatever.
We discover them and we share them with you, the listening audience. That's why we sit here and do this.
For the low, low price of $9.95 a month.
That's right. For $9.95 a month, you can subscribe to this podcast, check our money order, post office. Think anyone would actually pay for this?
I wouldn't.
Oh, that's what Lisa would call a wild hair. No, it's free. That's why when you go to iTunes and you look next to Cheap Date, it has a free button because we believe in free. Power
how
to the people, man.
How much would you expect to pay?
But wait, there's more. This is Ginsu 2.
Other shows charge $72 an episode.
That's right. Why would you want to pay? Never mind. Why don't we just move on? Let's let these people get back to their lives and doing something a little bit more productive than listening to us rambling on about, this nonsense that's sitting here in front of us. If people want to get a hold of us, Lisa, how would they do that?
They can email us at dish@cheapdateshow.com.
And if they want to look for previous episodes or they want to look at show notes and that sort of thing, where would they go?
They would go to our website, cheapdateshow.com.
Oh, so it's like the same thing as our email address, almost.
Yeah.
Gosh.
We're on the internet.
You can also drop us a voicemail at 206-203-3283. Or if you're really bored, you can follow us on the strangely addictive Twitter at twitter.com. Lisa's ID is?
Fourth time, that's the number four. And unfortunately, these days I only Twitter about like once a week, which sort of makes it's pointless to Twitter unless you do it like at least daily, I think.
You can find me as JTL.
So and Joe Twitters profusely.
To a fault.
Prolifically.
There you go. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We love hearing from you. Keep the comments and the guest reviews and everything else coming. And we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Cheap Date Media at cheapdatemedia.com.